The state funding crisis is not over with the passage of a state budget. And for school districts, it's arguably worse than it was. Unit 5 in Bloomington Normal will start the school year on the regular schedule and keep the doors open as long as it can. But unless something happens quickly in Springfield on a new school funding formula, now deadlocked between the governor and the legislature, there will be no state money coming. Marty Hickman is the business manager of Unit 5. How long can you keep the doors open?
It's kind of a complicated question, actually, or a complicated answer. If we look at just our fund reserves, it's about 40 days of school.
How does it become complex after that initial assessment?
The complexity is really because we receive a large part of our revenue in the summertime because of the property tax payment. So we can actually go longer than 40 days here at the beginning of the school because we have all that revenue that came in early. If our revenue was split out and paid over, you know, evenly over 12 months, it would be a little bit different. But we have all that revenue up front along with the fund reserve. So really, it would be something more than 40 days that we could make it.
How much more?
I guess my best estimate would be somewhere around 70 to 75 days.
What does that do to you later on in the year, though?
That's a great question. And from my perspective, it's hard for us to answer because we don't know exactly what the scenario would be. So, you know, our understanding is without further action in Springfield, nothing would be paid out in what used to be the general state aid portion of payments, because it must be paid out under the evidence-based funding formula, which hasn't been signed into law yet. But there are some other pieces, smaller pieces in the education fund that our understanding is they would still be paid. But probably a little bit more importantly is some bigger pieces in the transportation fund could still be paid.
Well, that would keep the buses rolling, but otherwise, isn't this much like you've been operating under for the last 2 years with no state budget?
Yes. It's very much like the last 2 years. If anything, maybe a little bit worse, just because, as you recall, last year, there was a state budget for K-12 education. So the general state aid payments began coming on time. Now, the mandated categorical payments actually did not come on time, and actually they only paid out two of the four last fiscal year. But at least the general state aid came. And that's the largest amount of money that our school district receives was under that general state aid formula. So this year, without the passing of the evidence-based funding formula, that larger portion of payments would not come.
Would the district borrow to stay open beyond the 40 or 70 days?
So those are scenarios that we are looking into. Right now, we're just trying to build those contingency plans. And because of just all the uncertainty, it's even hard to build those plans.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Marty Hickman, the business manager for Unit 5 Schools. What does the current SB1 do for Unit 5 financially?
SB1 would provide about $416,000 more in state funding than we received last year. In general, we are very pleased that the evidence-based funding model seems to be gaining some traction. And in fact, the budget that was passed at the state level, although there's work to be done and it's critical that they finish this step, you know, it contains a piece in there that only allows the funding of schools through the evidence-based model, which is a major improvement from the former general state aid model.
Early in the discussion of the evidence-based model possibilities, it seemed like Unit 5 was not going to fare all that well under it. Then there was this hold harmless provision put in by both sides in order to gain passage. How does Unit 5 fare going forward under the model?
It certainly isn't a windfall for Unit 5, but it does at least provide some stability. Now, there's some increased revenue under that model, but I think more importantly, it really aligns educational spending, educational funding to things that are actually proven to provide results in the classroom and student achievement.
And that's what has caused the education community to sign on to the model. But how do you think it will affect Unit 5 going forward, given the demographic trends that you know? Well, poverty, a general income, age of the community, property tax base of the community, and of course the educational outcomes portion that you're already doing with class sizes and with support systems for those in poverty, which gain certain benefits under the formula.
What I believe it does for us longer term, and a key piece of this, is it can be the best model in the world, and it certainly is an improvement over what we had. But if the payments don't actually come to the school district, then we're right back to where we started. So, you know, assuming that the payments are actually made at the levels that they say that they're going to pay them, then at the very least it provides Unit 5 with a little more stability than we've had in the past. And then once we can count on something more solid from the state standpoint, that allows us to then do better future planning to address all the needs that you mentioned, the poverty rate and the different demographics of our community.
Marty Hickman is the business manager for Unit 5. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Charlie Schlenker.